We're up to Perek Chav Gimel. We went through the entire Perek. We went through the Pesukim, but we did not do the Mitzudos and the Rashi. So let's go through the Mitzudos, David, and the Rashi's, and in the process of doing so, perhaps we'll bring out a few more ideas. Okay, so in the Pasuk Aleph and Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, we're up to Imay Bebris, Yehoyada, this hero. He is a legend in the Jewish history. He is responsible for saving the Zera of David. And the first thing he did was he gathered together the leaders, the Sori Hameos, including this, we have some very specific names mentioned here in Divrei Hayamim, and he entered into a covenant with them. He guaranteed that they were with him. You have to know who your partners are to participate in what he's about to do, to remove Asalia and replace Asalia with Yoash. Im Hamelech Lios Bezraso, to be at his assistance. Pasuk Gimel says, "Bedeis Elokim Im Hamelech." To be, they should pledge their allegiance that they will assist the new king Yoash. This new little boy, he's only going to be 7 years old. That these people shall pledge their allegiance that they will assist him. The child is now ready to be king. Interesting that the Farshim talk, he waited exactly 6 years. He was 7 years old. There's so much talk in the Svarim of Halacha. What's the age of Chinuch? Is it 5, 6? And here it was 7. Normally you get to a certain age, a certain degree of maturity when the person is roy to be to be trained in mitzvahs. Here can be melech, it seems he had to wait even one more year. He was 7 years old when he felt it was proper to proceed. Okay, Hashlishas. I'm reading the Mitzudos David. Perek Chof Gimel, I'm up to Pasuk Dalet. Hashlishas. It says here, so he took all the people. These words of the Mitzudos are not, I don't really have a clarity in what it means. Here, we'll see. But basically, he took everyone. There was the Boya Shabbos and the Yoytze Shabbos, the people, the Mishmar who entered on Shabbos and the Mishmar who left, the old Mishmar. And he divided everyone up into three groups. One third would watch, would be positioned, it was called the Shar HaSipim. Another group that would stand in the palace. And the third group was by the Shar HaYisod. He divided everyone up into thirds. Now it's not in the Pasuk itself, as we mentioned yesterday, only says that he divided the group that's the Bohi HaShabbos, those that enter. We'll see Rashi says Lav Dafka, we'll see that in a moment. Rashi says that he took everyone together, the Bohi HaShabbos and the Yotze HaShabbos. The Mitzudas learns a little bit differently, and especially in Sefer Melachim, he has a much more complex calculation of exactly what he did. Okay, we're not going to go through now, it's a little bit over my head, but we'll just see the words over here in the Mitzudas inside, HaShlishish, Chelik Shlishish, a third, plus Boya Shabbos. He explains simply, Ki Mishmaros HaKayhan V'Alevim Hoyu Mishalpim B'chol Shabbos. The Mishmaros, I think the battery is weak. Is it on the way? I think it's the battery.
Yeah,
okay. The Mishmaros, Ki Mishmaros HaKayhan V'Alevim Hoyu Mishalpim B'chol Shabbos Eilu Yotze V'Yel Boim V'Ukiruyim Hema Bohi HaShabbos. Like we learned yesterday, on Shabbos, there is all of Klal Yisrael, all of the Kohanim and Levim are divided into 24 Mishmaros, and each Shabbos they switch, and the new Mishmar that's coming in for the next week is called the Boya Shabbos. They took over, they brought the Talmud Shal Bein Harboyim. The Mishmar from the previous week, they brought the Talmud Shal Shachar. So here we have the two groups, V'yamalachem HaShlishish Mikem Ratzulayim HaChelik Shlishi Mishoymei HaMelech. Now here's, I'm not clear with the Mitzvah saying. I read this 10 times, not 10 times, but a number of times. I don't have clarity. He took all of the...
He split them into three. What he said
yeah.
If there were 30 guards,
yeah,
he made a third of the guards should be from...
Part.
Mishmeres.
Okay, he added.
He added his Mishmeres
okay.
Throughout all the guards that he should have at least not majority, but it should have a significance among the guards. So
these people, it says, Rasam Chelek Shlishi Mishoymei HaMelech. He took a different group. They were guards. He appointed them.
A third of those were his Mishmeres coming.
He told them to be, okay, fine, something along those lines. Ratzulaymar, the Mitzudah says, Chelek Shlish Mishoymei Hamelech Yihiyu Me Anshei Bohi Hashabos Min Hakohanim Umin Halevim. He's doing something that's not standard. He's taking a group of people that are called the guards of the king, and he's assigning them to be who you will be for this week, the Bohi Hashabbos, something along those lines. And then he told them, "What shall you do? I want you to stand guard by this place called the Shar Hasipim, the Lashorei Hasapim. Rotzalaymar b'mispar shlish yishmu Shar Hasapim. A third of you shall guard this specific gate, ulam, lo boi, however, lo boi hashabos hayushayim sham." The Mitzvot points out that's not their normal mission, that's not their normal task. The mishmoros who enter the coming Shabbos do not normally stand guard at this location. Their normal location for these guards is to stand in the Beis Hamelech, not to stand by the Shar HaSapim. We have no record anywhere in Tanakh that the mishmar, that's the Boy HaShabbos, stands at the Shar HaSapim. Why then were they doing so this particular week? Because it was necessary to implement his plan. The Hashlishis, and then he says, what about a second third? Mishomer HaMelech, Yihiyu Shomer Beis HaMelech. A second group shall stand guard at the palace where the king is being held. Achar Sheyovei HaMelech El Beis, so they shall be there ready to protect him after we move him, we reveal him from inside from the chamber that's near the Kodesh HaKadoshim. After he is revealed, we're going to immediately bring him into the palace, and we need to have a security detail to protect him when he gets there, and a third of these people are going to be present there. V'yashlishis, now I don't know what this means here. And he says a third, Shnei HaShlishim. I don't know what it means. He translates a third to mean two-thirds. I really don't know. Hayu miyotzei HaShabbos, and all of a sudden the Mitzvah is adding in, they were from the Yotzei HaShabbos. I'm not exactly sure what he's saying over there. There were two thirds of the Yotzei HaShabbos. Okay, I'm going to leave it for now. Where are they going to stand? They're going to stand Bishar HaYisod. Yishmeru Bishar HaYisod. V'hu Shar HaMizrachi Shumokim HaScholas HaKedusha Kamo HaYisod Shehu HaScholas HaBinyan. The entry, the main entrance to the Azara was on the east, and therefore it was called the Shar HaYisod, just like the foundation is the beginning of a structure. It's what starts the structure, it's what supports the structure. The entrance is this gate was the entrance to the Mikdash, and it was called the Shar HaYisod, the Chol Am. So that takes care of all of the Kohanim, the Levim, the Yotzei HaShabbos, the Boy HaShabbos, and the special guard that he collected. They were all divided into different groups, and basically the gist of the picture, according at least to the Mitzudos, Rashi was much simpler, but according to the Mitzudos, they are going to be positioned in three locations: the Shar HaSapim, the Shar HaMelech, and the Shar HaYisod. Then we have a Chol Ha'am. There were other people that were not Kohanim Levim. Mibnei Yisrael Yishmu B'chatzos Beis Hashem. They would stand in strategic locations in the courtyard. Beis Hashem Hu Ahechol V'Amishar Sim Levim Mishar Se Abayis Men Levim. And the Levim shall do their mission. They shall do what they're supposed to do, and no one else is allowed to enter into the Beis Hamikdash from this particular Shabbos. Yishmeru Lo'bal Yikrivu L'Geshes El Hamokim Asulhem. And the Levim will stand guard to make sure that no one goes to a place where they're not supposed to. Love, everyone shall have in their possession a weapon. Clay Zaino, a weapon. V'havo, each Zohabo Shama Yomus, ki ulai hoyum yanshe asalya, mevakesh hareges hamelech. Anyone that's not supposed to be there shall be killed, because we suspect that he is working for the other side. He is supporting Asalya, and he may kill the king. B'vo'o elabayis, we would say so mimena, and that refers to they shall surround. Pasuk Zion says that when the king comes out, when the king is revealed, he will be fully surrounded by by the security guards to make sure that no one kills him. Okay, Pasuk Ches goes on to say, Ish es anoshav, kol sar meya miboyim b'ha-shabbos, yotzei shabbos v'chasar anoshav. So now they began to implement the plan. Everything was in position, everyone was in position. Now they revealed the king, and they came forward. Ki loy potar, osam, the Pasuk goes on to say that there were many people there, extra people there, because Yehoyada HaKoyein did not let them go home. Normally at this time of the day, it was the middle of the day on Shabbos, at this time of the day, the people from the previous Mishmah were free to return to their families, but he did not allow them to leave on this particular Shabbos because he wanted there to be more people present. Ki loy potar, lo nosan rishus lemishmeres yotzei Shabbos leleches lebateim kedarkam tamid, like they normally were accustomed to. Aval hitel leim hachiv lehisakivod, he required them to remain there until the plan was fulfilled. Asher lemelech David, asher him lemelech David she'asa hu, then we learn in Pasuk Tes that he gave them weapons. He took out three things: the chanisim, the maginos, and the hashalotim, the spears and different types of shields. Who made these shields? These shields were made by Hamelech David, Asher Beis Elokim, David Hamelech himself. He made these weapons, and they were stored there. They were stored in the Beis Hamikdash. We know the different time. And Asher Hamelech David, Asher Himel Hamelech David, Shasam, who he made these weapons himself. Beis Elokim. And they were stored in the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud tells us that everyone stood and they had a shilcho. Shilcho is a weapon. Another word for a weapon, v'ish kol ish charbo biyado. And they surrounded, they stood on all sides of the Azara. Mikosef el kosef, right, left, by the Mizbeach. Everywhere in the Azara, there were people standing with weapons. Lifnei HaMizbech VeHeichel. Pasuk Yud Aleph mentions now they actually brought out the king and they put upon him the crown. Vayotziu Mimokam Machbu'u, from his hiding place. He was released from his hiding place. They put the Nezer. The Nezer, the Kesar Malchus, and her Eidos, so we discussed yesterday, Hi HaTorah. According to the Mesudas, they put around his arm a Sefer Torah, Hanikres Eidos. The Tolu Oysa Bizra'o, they hung it on his arm, Kamashakasa, Rabbeinu Erbesein Zichron Levracha, the Sefer Torah, Hayeserah Shel Melech, the Sefer Torah, the extra Sefer Torah that a Melech must have with him at all points in time. Ohu Miloshen Adivi Kishut. Another interpretation is they dressed the king in jewelry, special royal jewelry. For Ratzalaymar Koshtu Oso Ba'adim Melucha, they adorned him with jewelry of Malchus, Me'avne Yakar, from precious stones. Pasuk Yibes, at this point in time, they began to sing. They began to blow trumpets, and people began to run and do different things. And Asalia, when she heard the commotion, Eskol Ha'om Harotzim, Kol Merutzas Ha'om, she heard a commotion. People were moving from place to place. V'kol Hamahalalim Es Hamelech, and she heard people shouting, Long live the king. When she heard this, she wanted to see what's taking place. She went into the Azara, and she saw that Shlomo was on a platform. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, he was omeid al amudo. They built a special platform for this ceremony. Al amudo, al hamakam hamiyuchud lemelech lamod sham, in the Azor, there's a special place where the king stood. Bimavo, we don't have that in our models. And all the models of the Beis HaMikdash, I have yet to see a special platform that's a special makam for the king to stand when he comes. Yeah?
Maybe it was just for this occasion.
Could be.
It was pretty small.
Only 7 years old. Well, we don't know. There are some very large 7-year-olds out there. Okay? There's some. We don't really know what a 7-year-old was at that time. In the, everyone came, she came out, Asali came out to the Mavo. The Mavo means the open area where everyone was gathering. And what did she see? She saw that they were playing trumpets, and the singers were playing with musical instruments. Umodiim Lehalel. What do those words mean? The Mesudas stuff, it says, Melamdim das ze lo ze eich lehalel. Each one was instructing the other how to praise the king in the proper way. I guess it's been a long time since they had a king. It's been 7 years since they had a real king, so people forgot the procedure. They forgot how to salute. They forgot exactly what to do. The proper tachsise hamalchus, they were teaching each other what to do. And when she saw this, what did she say? She said, Kesher kosher, there's a conspiracy. Mered yeshkan, the kavla divarecha kiderech hachared, a person who's terrified, he shouts, he repeats himself multiple times. Pasuk Yidali, Vayotse, they brought him out, Yehoyada brought out all of the officers, he now brought out the military, the army, to take Asalia to her death. Now that the king has successfully been appointed, Asalia was going to be taken out to death. The question is, why is she chayev misa? Why exactly is she chayev misa? What did she do? Maybe they should just put her in prison. So one you'll say, well, she was a murderer. So you have to have evidence. You have to have witnesses. So either you can say it was Hayrah Shah, okay, it was Hayrah Shah, or you can say maybe you could say that she was a married b'malchus. That's really the most popular idea. I saw that in the Mishmas Zav and Sefer Malachim, and he elaborates upon that, that this is exactly why. Why did he do it in this order? Why didn't he first kill her? Wouldn't it have been safer first to kill her? Think about it. If you were in charge, what would you have done? First, you would kill Asalia, because she's not suspecting anything is going on. She's walking around, and they'll kill her. And once they'll kill her, then we have a new melech, Yoash. Zereshel Dov, he's hiding. Why do they first anoint a new king, and then all of her defenders would come to her rescue? The king would be threatened. You see that they had to protect Yoash. The answer is because it would have been a crime for Yehoyada and his followers just to kill in cold blood Asalia. She was the established queen. She was the ruler. But if we now show we have the Zereshel David, the legitimate heir to the throne, and then Asalia is screaming Mered Mored, there's a rebellion, now already there's legitimacy to take her out because she is a Mered B'malchus. So it's a clever technique. Obviously, had we been living at this time, had we seen what was going on, it would have made a much greater impact upon us than just reading the few psukim and trying to gain some insight. But now, when she said those words, kesher kosher, that was, she pronounced her own death sentence. You didn't need to dig up old video and DNA tests to go show that she was guilty for murder and go through a whole long process. Look what we got here. We got Yoash. He's the new king. He's legitimate. We learned yesterday the Targum. The crown fits. The crown from Amon. The special crown, it fits on his head. People will immediately recognize that this is the Zereshel David. He's legitimate. So why is she now saying Mered Kesher Kosher? She's saying there's a conspiracy. She pronounced her own death sentence with these two words, and that's why there was no problem. It was an easy excuse to kill her without cutting through a lot of red tape. What? She said to him, she said those two words. That was her own death sentence. Now, that's why in Pasuk Yedalit, now we have an excuse. He set her up. Yehoyada was a brilliant man. He set her up. Vayotze mi beis Hashem, he took a rabbi because he hachayel mi mahmudim al hachayel, he brought the military. Hotziya el mi beis hasidaros, we learned yesterday this word hasidaros, a very strange word. It means take her out from the arrangements. The beis hamidrash, where all the people are standing there, and everyone is put in their proper position, there's the ultimate seder. In the mikdash, we have precision, and the word sidaros, if we exchange the sin for a samach, we have the word seder. Rotzolaymar, hotziya oisa mi chutz the beis hamidrash, ulam, telech el. Lebeis hamikdash ulam telich el mibeis hasidaros ratzoloimar mipnim lemareches Hashem, from take her out from within the arrangement of the guards lebal timoleit, so that she should not escape. Anyone that tries to assist her, to defend her, to save her, immediately have them killed. Leyos beezrasa. Doso, their law is lehamis bechorev. The law to anyone that tries to come to assistance is to be executed immediately. Ki Omar, what? Sword, they stab them on the spot. No, they're all rebel. They're married by Malchus. We have a new king. A new king, Yoash. Anyone that wants to make trouble is a married by Malchus. A married by Malchus is chayev misa, and there's no ceremony. There's no judgments. 1, 2, 3. The reason why he said to take, he did not want her to die in the Migdash, he did not want to contaminate the Beis HaMikdash, therefore he said take her out. And as we discussed yesterday, because if she were to die, it would not just be a tumah of Misa, there would be potential to be Tumas Nida. The combination of Tumas Nida with Tumas Mace is very chomor. It was worth the risk of having her removed from the Migdash. By Yasimu Lo Yadayim, they set for her a yat, a mokum, they set up a special place to kill her. Osula mokoim panui lolechas mi beis Hashem uvoa el beis hamelech bederech asher hasusim boim ba v'sham nehergo. They made a special path. It seems he's touching yodai. It means a special path.
The guards had the hands up and they like put
a barricade pathway in order to make mokom. They made a special mokom so she could walk through the path to get her out to this place where the horses are to kill her there. And now after this was complete, Yehoyada calls together all of the Kohanim and he makes a bris and he tells them we're now going to have there's a new king in charge. And no longer are we going to worship idols. We're no longer going to worship the Baal. We're only going to serve Hashem. And he made a bris with all of the Kohanim and Levim. They know, Ratzolema kulam kiblu aleihem bibris lihiyos la'am la'Hashem, who loved to serve Hashem. Pasuk Yudches vayosem also mamunim bebeis Hashem ki biyosem oivdim lebal balu hamamunim. During the period of the last 6 years, there was a disruption of the service. There were no officers. No one was in charge of anything because instead of worshiping Hashem, they worshiped Avodah Zarah. So now everything had to be renewed. People had to be appointed to different positions and they had to start a new rotation. Everything had to go back to the way it was supposed to be. Biyad HaKoyhanim Hanminu Hazem Mosa Biyad HaKoyhanim B'nei Levi Kefi HaShecholak David L'mamunim HaBeis Hashem LaHalos Olos B'zmanim. The Koyhanim were to be in charge. Now I did see one of the Mefarshim. I saw this, I think, in Mishmas Zav. On Sefer Melachim, he makes this point. He makes that David originally established the people to be in control of the Beis HaMikdash with the Kohanim. Who's the boss? Come to the Beis HaMikdash. Who is in charge? You have a complaint to file. Who do you talk to? Who's the boss? Is it the king? Is it the Melech? Or is it the Kohen Gadol? Is it the Kohanim? Is the hierarchy based on the Kohanim, the Levim, leading all the way up to the Kohen Gadol? David, it's very clear in the beginning of Melachim, when Shlomo, he puts into order everything, and also in the beginning of Sefer Divrei Hayamim, that the Kohanim were the ones that were meant to be in charge. When the king comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the king is just a visitor. He's just a guest. It's not his place. The king is in charge of the country. He's not in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. There's no mixing of the roles. However, if we study, I don't have all the sources for you, I'm just repeating what I saw written up, that when, if you study very carefully the time from Rechavam, leading until the time of Yoash, it seems very clear the one that's in charge in the Beis HaMikdash are not the Kohanim, it's the Melech. The Melech has the last word. Anytime there was a decision to be made in the Beis HaMikdash, the Melech made the decision, not the Kohanim, not the Levim. So the question is, that was not the plan. David and Shlomo planned that the people to be in charge are the Kohanim and the Levim. The king is just the guest. He is in charge of the country. Don't meddle in to what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. Why then do we find over and over in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim, the king is the one deciding what should be done in the Beis HaMikdash? So the answer is that there were problems. Obviously there was some corruption or there were problems, and it was a temporary shift of power. That the king also had control temporarily of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, these psukim here are very significant in that at this point in time when Yoash now becomes the Melech, Yehoyada is returning the power, the authority of the Beis HaMikdash to the domain of the Kohanim and the Levim. It's a very significant. If you just read the psukim just superficially, you know, so when it says the Pasuk Tezayin, what does it say, Pasuk Tezayin? Vayichros Yehoyada bris beino lebein ka'olam bein ha-melech lios le'am Hashem. Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayavo kolam, okay, that's where he goes and he destroys all of the Avodah Zarah, Pasuk Yitches. So it says here, Vayosem Yehoyada pikudos beis Hashem. Look what this is. It's a very powerful pasuk. Only if you know the background to the pasuk. Only if you know what took place for the last, how many years was this? About 100 years. About 120 years. 130 years. If you know the background, then this pasuk has meaning. Vayosem Yehoyada Pikudos, officers, appointments. Pikudos means appointments. Beis Hashem, Biyad. Who's the boss here? Biyad, HaKohanim, HaLeviim, Asher, like it was meant to be from day one. Asher Cholak David al Beis Hashem. When David built the Beis Hamikdash, David gave very clear instructions that his children and his descendants are not in charge. The people that are in charge are Shevet Levi, Shevet Levi the Koyanim. Asher Cholak David al Beis Hashem, Lahalois Oilos Hashem, Kakosuv, Besaras Moshe, and it was done now by Simcha Uveshir al Yidei David. So here, Yehoyada was Machzir Atara Liyoshna. For about 100 years, things went off the path. The Melech meddled into business that was not his. Yeah.
These kings were prone to Avodah Zarah.
Well, not the kings of Yehuda, not necessarily. Rechavim was pretty good, and also was, well, they were pretty good. They were all good. Yehoshaphat, they were all tzaddikim, pretty, and only until you get to Yehoram. Yehoram was the first sour Nachazyahu.
But in that case, then the Kohanim would be an opposition force if they stood up for
right. So I don't know, I'm just throwing out this idea. I'm throwing out this idea. It requires more study to really carefully analyze the psukim in Malachim from the time of Rechavim to the time of Yehoyada, if this idea is correct, if this idea is true, if you do find Mukaris for this idea, then it opens up this pasuk very wide. It's a very, very, very fascinating insight. We don't appreciate this. Like, imagine if we're living, let's say, living in the United States, and all of a sudden, there's this corruption in the government, and the one that's in charge of the Supreme Court, who appoints the Chief Justice, the justice of the President? He decides, he appoints a justice to the Supreme Court. So let's say all of a sudden there's going to be a new constitutional amendment, no more, the President of the United States no longer has power to appoint judges to the bench. We're going to have now vote. Who's going to become a justice in the Supreme Court of the United States? It'll be an election. It will be major news, an amendment to the Constitution. It will be the talk of the town. They'll be writing all the courses in college just on this amendment to understand what it means. It's a major event. So that's really what happened here. That's really the significance, according to the Mishnah's his idea, is that's really what's happening over here. There's a major change in the balance of power of Klal Yisrael. The Kohanim are to be in charge. And it, you know, it fits very well into the next chapter. Because the next chapter, we're going to learn that Yoash, this is what we read in Parsha Shkolim, he makes a building campaign. Okay, there's the first a building campaign. He invents the Pushka. He invents a Pushka, and he goes through the whole process. He does fundraising for the Beis HaMikdash. Why all of a sudden is Yoash doing fundraising for the Beis HaMikdash?
He owes them.
What?
Yeah. He owes them. They're the one who put him into Melucha. They protected him
Right. That's what I want to make. Yoash the king, but when Yoash makes the renovations, we gain insight into how they raise money until that point in time. And it was the Kohanim that were instructed, the first, there was a need to do renovation of the Beis HaMikdash. And the first approach was, I'm not the one that's going to do the fundraising. The Kohanim are going to do the fundraising. And he makes it very clear, you Kohanim, you go out to all of your benefactors, and they'll give you money, and you'll take that money, and you'll do work. Yoash is not the one taking the lead to raise money for the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? We find that David and Shlomo, until now, when there was a need to do renovation of the Beis HaMikdash, it was always the king's role. In the next parak, we're going to learn that initially, the ones that had the responsibility to do fundraising and to make the repairs were the Kohanim. That's different than it was when it was built. Who built the Beis HaMikdash? Who raised all the money? David, Shlomo, all the wars before. We don't really find the Kohanim involved in fundraising. Kohanim are involved in service. Right away in the next parak, the whole Mikdash is dilapidating. It's falling apart. And the ones that are doing the fundraising are the Kohanim. And it's a disaster. We're going to learn it's a disaster. And because it's a disaster, who steps in? Yoash steps in, institutes reforms how to do fundraising. Why was it a disaster suddenly? Because the power, the balance of power shifted. Who's in charge? Who's in charge of the Beis HaMikdash of the Kohanim? You're in charge? You make the decisions? Okay, you raise the money. You raise the money. Serious stuff. And they were not good fundraisers. They were corrupt in fundraising. And that's why Yoash had to step back in and fix things up. Why all of a sudden is all this happening now? Because there's a major change of who's the boss of the Beis HaMikdash. The king has said, you stay out of this. You come, you visit, you have a palace nearby, you can come visit whenever you want, you do whatever you want, but decision making is given over to the Kohanim. That's a very powerful pasuk. That's the point that the Mishmat Zav and Sefer Melachim on these pasukim comes to bring out. Okay, let's go further. Finish up the Mitzudos. He appointed them. He made a treaty. Okay, this appointment to be in charge was given to the Bnei Levi. Kifi Asher Cholak David Limamunim Al Beis Hashem Lahalos Olus Bezmanim, like David assigned them in his time. Ali de David Bashir Hanasa, they sang songs. Who composed the songs? Who decided which musical instrument shall be used for different songs? David Bashir Hanasa, Ali de David Masha Tikin, who what David established. He then goes on to appoint gatekeepers, Pasuk Yates. He appoints the gatekeepers, and the gatekeepers he appoints a new function. This it says something different. The gatekeepers are not just to stand guard, honor guards, and to protect from bandits, but they're also to make sure that you're not tame. They must have had some type of high-tech body scanner. When you come in, you come into the gates. Can you imagine? They can detect if you went to mikvah.
They collected the receipts.
They can detect receipts. No, high-tech. A certain census, the kedusha. The kedusha. If you went to mikvah, Hashem amun lishma shari hamikdash lo yavo lishma shlo yavo bohem hatomei l'chol davar mimini hatumos. Besides being a guard that an enemy should not enter and cause problems, you have to be tar before you come into the Beis HaMikdash. V'ir shakata, and Yoash at least initially was very successful. There was peace. The land was tranquil. Loi nis'orer oid milchama ba'avur zeh, ki es asalyahu himisu, v'lo hoya oid milo'orer milchama. Asalyahu was dead, and no one, she had no supporters, or all the supporters were either killed or silenced, and there was no quarrel, there was no strife, not internal, not domestic strife, and not strife from the outside world. Okay, that concludes the words of the Mitzvot. Let's look at some of the Rashi's, going back to Pasuk Aleph. It starts with Pasuk Gimel, I believe. They should be his assistants. So the Rashi is very simple. Rashi makes the psukim extremely simple. Rashi, first of all, when it says, we mentioned this, when it says Boy Shabbos, we're going to read in a moment, Lav Dafka. It's a chiddush, it means Boy Shabbos and the Yotze Shabbos. He took everyone. It's Shabbos, changing of the guards. Everyone come together. I'm going to divide everyone into three groups. One third stands by the Sapim. One group stands by the Beis HaMelech. One group stands by the Shar HaYisod. Simple. Boy HaShabbos V'gam, Rashi says, Yotze HaShabbos. Okay, that's the tremendous chiddush. Once you say that, everything is very, very simple. The Mitzudas obviously doesn't learn like that. The Mitzudas is learning that he's only taking the Boy HaShabbos. He's dividing the Boy HaShabbos into three groups, and the Yotze HaShabbos are not being divided. They're going to serve different roles, and you get the numbers get very complicated. What exactly is going on? And the Mitzudos is learning the Pesukim Lefi the Pshat, because the Pasuk only says that he divided into three groups the Boy HaShabbos. Rashi is the one that's really going out on a limb and is saying Lav Dafka, it's the Boy HaShabbos with the Yotze HaShabbos. So why then does the Pasuk leave that out? No, the Pasuk doesn't have to say every detail. What?
The Mitzudas divides it. He says a third was the Boy and two-thirds were the Yotze.
Oh, two-thirds were the Yotze. A third was, that's what it means. The third was the Boy HaShabbos and two-thirds were the Yotze. And everyone else was doing what they're supposed to be doing. He just took the extra, the surplus. Because people who are Boy HaShabbos, some of them, two-thirds of the Boy HaShabbos were busy.
Right, they had to drive.
They were busy. So, but they were backup. the backups were just there to you know, just in case. So since in the meantime you're there just in case, we don't need you, you're going to do you're going to stand by the Shar HaSapim. And the Yoytzei Shabbos, there's more surplus because they're finished. They have less to do the Yoytzei Shabbos. They're done already. So you can take 2/3 from the Yoytzei Shabbos. That's according to the Mitzudos. But according to Rashi, no, we're taking everyone. Everyone is going to be put into the pool of available workers, and they're going to be divided. The Gam Yoytzei Shabbos, it seems in the Pasuk, B'samach Liku Yish, Es Anosha, Boya Shabbos, Im Yoytzei Shabbos, HaMishmaros, Hayum Schachos, B'Shabbos, Kehuna Leviya, Achas Yoytzei, Yachas Nechnes, one leaves and one comes. The He told everyone to stay. I'm going to divide all of you into thirds, and we're going to do the following. Okay, Vash.
No, he needed no, because I don't think all year round he had the marching Shara Mela.
Right, so he took them and he told them, he took them and he just distributed them. But when it says a third, it means a third of everyone present. Everyone present will divide into thirds. It's just like you said, right? Like you said, he took only a third of the boy Shabbos, because 2/3 had jobs, and he took, and when the third is in contrast to the 2/3 from the Yoytzei Shabbos, it's clearer in Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim, with the same Sukkah percentage, the Mitzvahs there, he explains it there a little more clearly. He's probably relying on that we go back to Melachim to understand what it says here. Okay, Vashlishas Pasek, Vashlishas Mibayis HaMelech, Lishmar Shalom Yigubsu Lahargo. So, he told a third of the people to stand in the palace. After we reveal the king, he's going to be brought to the palace, and we need there to have a very large security detail to protect him. Vashlishas Hu HaShen is the second third, Bashar HaYisod. They're going to stand by the Shar HaYisod. We discussed this, that in Melachim it's called the Shar HaSur. We changed the Dalid for Resh and the set of Dalid for Resh. Melachim Ksiv Shar HaSur. Uvi Yoma, Yerushalmi, Lefurish, Zion Shem was Hilal. They really had seven names this gate. And the Shar HaYisod, why is it called Shar HaYisod? Why is it called Shar HaSur? Because if someone is Tameh, they're told to exit. Al Shem Shayim Mitarim Shemes HaMitzoroim, they will Mitar the Mitzoroim. Al Bohen Yadam, on their large thumb, on their thumb, Al Shem Suru Tameh Karu Lamo. Go away. The Mitzorah was not allowed to enter. This was yesterday's daf about the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah comes to the Shar Nigner, he puts in his big thumb and his ear and his toe, and the Kohen puts blood and oil on these three things. So why does he stand in the Shar Nigner on the east gate? Why can't he enter all the way? He's Tameh. He's not allowed to come in. He does not have Tar yet. So we tell him, stay away. So it's called Sur. Just for you, I mentioned yesterday the Darshan and the Bali Musar say it's called Shar HaYisod and it's called Shar HaSur Al Shem. Tomei should stay away. The Yisod, the foundation of Yadus, is stay away from trouble. Stay away from things which will bring yourself Lidei Tumah. If you stay away, that's already 90% of the battle has been won. Just don't put yourself in a matzah of where you'll come lowly day nisayon, the lowly day desayon. If we come lidei nisayon, unfortunately, it's all that easy. It's too easy to fall in. The chol ha'am yishmu shlo yavo beis Hashem. Everyone should think God. No one should come in. The kelim biyaday. Everyone has their beklei melchamta biyaday. They had weapons on Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash. A double chiddush, a weapon in the Beis Hamikdash. How could that be? It's Shabbos.
Yeshiva bachrim in the army.
What?
Yeshiva Bachrim
in the Beis HaMikdash. I remember when I was very little, I went to Eretz Yisrael, I went to Gush. This was way back, before you were all born. I went to Yeshiva, I went to Gush. And you know, I was a little American, yeah, Gush, I was a little American kid, so what I know. And it was very frightening to me that on the, they don't do this anymore, and on the floor are machine guns in the aisles.
Lined up.
Like every couple of tiles, there's another machine gun lying on the floor. So you know that's like it's pretty scary. You know, it's on the West Bank. It wasn't so safe. It's not safe now either. But then, today I asked them, they don't do this anymore. Today they don't keep weapons on the floor like this anymore. Then people are on guard, but not So that's a halacha. It's Shulchan Aruch. You're not bringing a weapon to the Beis Hamikdash, into the Beis Hakneses. But Shas HaSakana, it's mutter. And obviously here, it was Shas HaSakana, HaYurasha, there were weapons in the Beis Hamikdash itself. Every person had a pistol. Pasuk Ches. Boya Shabbos, Mnete Shabbos, Kiloi Potar. Oysam, you just take the word Potar. Potar means they were not free. They did not get an exemption. To they had a stay. Oysam machlokes shayotz lachas kolis Hashem ella ikvam sham im haboim im haboim. He kept them there. The people that were supposed to leave were not allowed to stay there. Dugma belishkois piturim. Okay, there's a lishka called the lishkois piturim. Why there's a chamber called the chamber of piturim? What does that mean, piturim? So before I read the Rashi, I'll just give you an example from the Gemara. Every city needs to have asara batlanim. What are asara batlanim? So if you don't know the Gemara, you say 10 good-for-nothings. It's people that sit around on the street corner and play cards or watch television or just do nothing. Asar batlanim. That's not what it means. It means 10 people, tzaddikim. 10 very holy people. Every city must have 10 very holy people. Why they call batlanim? They're batal mimalacha. The community has an obligation to support them.
Retirees,
the
okay, the community has an obligation to support them, so that they should be batel. The word batel is not referring to sitting around and doing nothing. They should be batel mimilocha. They should be batel from doing ordinary, making a livelihood, so that they can be available to serve the tzibur in holy matters. That means to learn Torah, to teach Torah, to
Paskin
Shailas, to make the mikvah, to kashrus. They have to. They are very busy. In fact, they're very busy. They're possibly even more busy than the people who are working a full time job. They're batel mimilocha for making a livelihood because they're supported by the community to be involved in holy matters. So that's the same thing over here. There's a lishkas batlanim, vishl lishkas piturim, a lishka chabel of piturim, people that are potter from melacha of making a livelihood. They're exempt. Why they're exempt? The tzibur supports them so they can be available in the Beis Hamikdash to do what needs to be done. That same thing goes. So that just explains that word. Lishkas piturim kolayma piturim hayu mikol melacha shebo azara ki im lishma. Why? Because they have to be here. We need people to keep up the Beis Hamikdash. Ki im lishma halishkos, to guard the lishkos and do what needs to be done. Ki yomam v'layu l'choyv aleim b'melacha. It's their duty to be there day and night b'melacha, to do the work of lishmar, to guard ho'azaros, the chambers v'halishkois l'fich ho'yu piturim. They were exempt mikol shar meleches ho'azara, of the melacha of the azar. Okay, that's what the word piturim here means. So he also says, well, he did not let him go home. You can't go home. I have no piturim. You can't go back to your wife and family. You got to sit here and wait this thing out and see what happens if we're successful.
I don't know if this is true or not, but the word patrol...
Yeah, interesting. Patrol is patur. Interesting, very interesting. Interesting. Okay, let's see. Pasuk Yud. The Ish Shulcha B'yado, another word. Say, it's interesting. I don't know. We mentioned yesterday the repetition, the Kalev, and then it says Shulcha. Maybe it represents two different types of weapons. Maybe one weapon was a concealed weapon. One was a weapon that was exposed. It was sent forth. It was exposed.
They didn't have pockets.
They did not. They're not pockets. There's going to be suspect of stealing anything. Yeah, I don't know. But here's a shulcho biyado. They had klei zaino kimo uva'ad hashelach diyo. There's a pasuk in Yoel where it also says the weapon. We're referring to the weapon. Pasuk gedalof esaneze. They took out the crown. They put the crown on the head of David. Hi huatara shelach David. This is the crown that David captured from Ammon, Mirabas b'nei Ammon. That was the name of a place. Rabbas, the king who lived in Rabbas b'nei Ammon. Kidosiv ikach David as ateres malkom, the crown of their king. Vatehi al roish David, and David put it on his head. Umisham v'hollo hayimalch Yehuda manichem oisa hanezer al roisham. And it went down to Yerusha. All of the kings of David wore this crown. V'yeso edus. So Rashi says, like what the Mitzudah says, zes sefer Torah v'chein hu oimer v'korbo kol mechaya v'rabaseinu amru, that the edus is an explanation of the Nazir. If the crown fit, then it was edus that you are roy to be melech. Amru hanezer haze edus shekol haroy l'malchus holmato, it fit him. The word holmato means it fit. If you are deserving of being melech, the crown fit. B'sheni roy l'malchus eino holmato, does not fit. Oy made al Oh, we're worried about you, Rayevsky.
Real estate problems.
Oymed al amudo, he stood on the platform. Kidur Omar vayamud hamelech al ha'amud kiyos, this refers to Shlomo, to al ha'amud kiyos Shlomo kiyor nechash. Remember we learned this, the kiyor nechashes? The pasuk says that he stood on the kiyor. And we said, why would he stand in the kiyor? So simply they improvised. They had to stand and address the entire tzibur. So the highest thing to stand in was the kiyor. It's very strange. Why would you go and stand on the kiyor? The Mal Melch, you can't build a special podium. You ever see the President of the United States? Wherever he goes, they bring the a podium with the logo. They couldn't go and have a special podium. So we learned one of the interpretations that kiyor does not refer to the washing basin. The word kiyor means a design. In the Chinami, the kiyor means they built a beautiful podium, a lectern with the logo, the insignia of the melech. That's what it means, the kiyor. Simply means a wash basin, improvised. They were very yeshivish in the Beis HaMikdash.
It was a platform.
Right, you yeshivish a place. The person has to get up and speak. No, so you just grab the local shtender. So no, I have to address you. I'll get up and I'll stand on the table. No, kiyor means an object of beauty. Beauty, he's special. So here as well, that's what it means over here. He stood al amudo. It means they brought out the special platform, ornate platform for the king. Yeah.
Sometimes you have these standards of shuls, the fancy ones, that they have a step pulls out. So the rug is short.
Yeah,
he stands up higher.
A step pulls out. Yeah.
The other end has the bottom like a drawer.
I never saw. Wait, an Eretz Yisrael maybe.
Out,
yeah.
It pulls in. You pull out. Yeah. The rug stands up, and you can see.
Okay, could be.
This is a 7-year-old kid, so they had it.
It's not. It's. I'm not joking. Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, years ago. I'm not joking. It's due to security problems. The shtender of the rabbi was bulletproof.
Really?
I remember reading about this. And this certain community in the West Bank was a very dangerous settlement. The settlement was very, very surrounded by Arabs. In the shul, they had all these security measures. And one of the things, they were afraid that an Arab would shoot the rav when he was speaking. So they had like a bulletproof, a bulletproof, scary, huh?
It's a way for him to pass the
big rebbes. They go. They have their rebbe mobile with a chair. Not a joke. A chair. You go look them online. They come with a chair.
That's because they. Gavarada
in
a regular chair would collapse.
In the fancier shul, they have the old
exactly.
That he took around with him wherever he went.
No, the old one.
Yeah.
No, they saved it from glass. Europe in glass.
That's because of sharpness. He didn't want to sit on anything that was.
Somebody took the chair with him.
Right,
that no yeshiva bacha today would use such a standard. It's so dilapidated. It's so schwach. You look, you just would touch it, would collapse. No, it's a treasure. This was the Rebbe, the old Rebbe.
He sat on the chair. He sat on the tip of the chair.
Uh huh.
He never sat on the full, you know.
It's on display. It's on a display case. It's in Chaim Berlin, they have a Rav Chudner's chair, a Malchus, a big fancy. And one year they had it reupholstered. They had the whole thing refinished. In the old building, they used to have the mat. They always had the mat. They had the shtender. When they moved into the new building, they only brought the chair. They didn't.
The old building?
What? Next door, Coney Island.
The long,
narrow building. So there, when they came into the new building, they only brought the chair. They didn't take in what
they copied.
The Lubavitch, they have everything. Well, they didn't move anywhere. They didn't move. They still give him an aliyah. They still give him an aliyah. Let's go further. Okay, let's finish the Rashis. And then I want to mention something here important. Okay, Vieso Eidos. Okay, so he said, Oymed al Amudo. It's a very interesting expression, a very interesting word. You take the word Amudo, he stood, you take a verb and you make the verb into a noun. This is an amazing thing. This is something which would be typical from the Pythonim. Now, the Baitanim got a lot of heat over this. This is a very big debate in taking language and taking verbs and making them into nouns, verbs, that it's an extreme liberal usage of the holy language. But you see, in Divrei Hayom, you see this fascinating expression, Omeid al Amudo. Omeid is the noun, the stand, and the verb, the stand. And here we're taking the verb and we're making it into a noun, the Amudo, the place that you stand upon. If you wouldn't know better, you would say this, a piyut. It's not something which is biblical Hebrew. Okay, Goyim do whatever they want, but this was one of the big things. Go back about 1,000 years, the Paitanim, when they started manipulating the language, there were different schools of thought how far you can go in doing this. But we have it right here in front of us in a very, very nice way. Al amudo al hamokam hamiyuchal lemelech lamod sham b'mavo b'mokam. I'm going to go back to the Rashi's. K'nem v'yavin hamelech al amud ki yosa shlomo kiyar nechoshes. He made a kiyar nechoshes, which will translate as a beautiful and ornate platform to stand on to address the people. V'yamod alav v'yerechas v'yavrich al berkaf. He stood up and he bowed down. V'ar hayom minig kishoimdim yachad oimdim hamelech aduchos. Even today, when we all stand together and someone addresses a leader, a duke, or a king addresses the assembly, he stands b'makom gavoa. Omer hamelech haduchos b'makom gavoa kedei sheyuchlu l'roso l'shmoya, as so they can see him and they can hear. Kesher kosher mered morat, rebellion. Yitzayin hasederos perish makom mavo hamelech mibeis lebeis Hashem lo yadati mahu loshon sidros. Rashi's humility says, I don't know. Rashi knew everything. And Rashi, well, this question, this is Rashi, but I don't know what it means. I don't know what this word means, hasidros. I don't know what it means. V'yodis antirgim sidraya. Seder, exchange the sin for a samach, the seder, the arrangements. She left the arrangements. Rashi, by saying, I don't know, it seems like he's not so happy with the targum. Okay. Habo acharav yumas, al tanichua lotzei sterech motzo hazara eloir, don't let her out. Make sure you don't let her go out in the normal way to the city, the regular Den Avenue J. If you let her walk Den Avenue J, who knows, someone will come to her aid, someone will come to help her. Therefore, take her out a special backwards path. Take her down the alleyway. Well, you take out the garbage. Where you take out the garbage. Can Tim so Ajim Mishai Moleha? I just remember what comes to mind, that Clinton, Bill Clinton, when they did renovation, the FBI building, and they made a big ceremony in his presidency to inaugurate the new bill. I think it was the FBI building, maybe it was a CIA building, and they brought him in, they drove him in on ceremony, pomp and ceremony. He gave a speech, and his speech was, as he wants to thank the FBI and the CIA for finally, after being president all these years, for taking him in the building through the front entrance. He says, he's president, I think he was president for almost 8 years at that point. He says, I've been here president for every time I come to the FBI and the CIA and all the guard, they always take me through the alley with the garbage. I feel like this is the president. I have to go with the garbage. I have to go with these back alleys. Finally, today, they take me into the front door. So here exactly told her, don't take me to the front door, take her out the front door, someone may come along to her, to defend her, and to help her, take her out the back alley where the horses are, and kill her there. No one should come to her assistance. Habo achrecha la'azara, you must, him isu, anyone who comes to help her, kill her. Don't take any chances. They make a special mokum, they prepare a special route for her to go, no one should find her. Then when Yehoyada, he made this bris between the people, he transferred the authority of the Beis HaMikdash from the king's domain to the domain of the Kohanim and Leviim. Bris beino lebein kol am bein hamelech shei kulam hamelech v'ama achrei Hashem pekudos memunim ze al ze lahalos olos v'chol hama b'parish ha-dugma v'yishma pashchor v'yipikid negid Beis Hashem. Just saying, where pekudos means appointments. He made appointments, people were appointed to fill various roles in the Mikdash, because it has been suspended for the last at least 6 years since Asalia took control. Pasuk Yutes, part of the job of the Kohanim and Levim from here on in is not just to serve as honor guards, but to make sure people who are Tomei do not enter. For any need. If you're Tomei, you may not enter the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to check, we're going to enforce this. It appears until this point in time that was not enforced. Only thing that was enforced was the danger, but not Tuma, that's up to you. If you're Tamei, you're not Tamei, none of our business. So none of our business. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, they probably were different state like today. The different kasher standards. You get into a fight with a security guard. Are you Tamei or Tahar? Tell me your history. Well, I came in contact with the mace 8 days ago. Oh, really? Did you have Hazal Paraduma? Yeah, where'd you go for your Hazal Paraduma? I went to my local Rav. Who's the local Rav? You know, the Rabbanut doesn't accept him. And therefore, his no paraduma what was very expensive. Tzloichis. The Tzloichis Shalmayim that was used. You know, there are rumors that it's a fake. The water that he's using for the paraduma water, it doesn't have a hechsher from the Badatz. It does not have a hechsher from the Badatz, and therefore, his paraduma water is no good. Next. Where'd you go to mikvah? I went, this mikvah? Do you know the person that did hashaka on the mikvah? He has a smartphone. He has a smartphone.
Sounds like
and therefore, and therefore there's a gezeira that anyone that has a cell phone that does hashaka, the mikvah is not a kosher mikvah, we can't let you in. It's not so far-fetched, that's what happened. They were different stin. Until this point in time, a person comes, are you Tamei Tahar? I'm Tahar. I'm not asking any questions. None of my business. If you tell me you're Tahar, you're Tahar. We're not going to check and make any investigation. Things here changed.
You saw that. You saw it by the Karayim.
It doesn't make any sense.
About the Shreifas for the Paraduma.
Yeah.
The Karayim said you had to be a Tahar.
Right.
So don't check. You came
exactly.
In. I'm Jewish. I'm this.
Exactly. So that we can be
heard.
That's the deeper meaning of what this means. That until this point in time, there were no standards. You come to the Beis HaMikdash.
Standard was everyone would accept.
Whatever you say you're Torah. We're not going to challenge you. You say you're Torah, you're Torah. So because hey, come bring a carbon. Now there was. It seems niskatnu hadoros. There was hefkeros. There was things were not the way they should be, and they instituted standards. And there was a book. There were rules. You come to the Beis HaMikdash, are you Tamei Tahar? If you're Tamei, then you go through the proper procedure for Tahara. There are only certain places, certain Kohanim, certain Rabbanim, which have been authorized to be Metahar you. That's what's going on here. There were officers to check the various standards. Pasuk, now we come to, okay, that concludes the Rashis of Perek Chav Gimel. Now I want to just point out two things. First of all, there's a very interesting Targum. Besides the Targum that Rav Meir pointed out yesterday, that the crown had upon it a special stone which was etched, the Shem Hashem. And this stone weighed, it wasn't just on the crown, it was the Shem Hashem, and it had a certain Ruach HaKodesh, there was a certain Kedusha on the crown, which did not tolerate it being put upon a person that was not Royal Malchus. But there's another interesting Targum that says that when it mentions the three different places where the guard stood, one was the Shar... That was the Shar HaSir, or the Shar HaYisod, and then was the Beis HaMelech, and the Beis HaSapim, the threshold, the Shar of the threshold. But the middle one, the Shar HaMelech, so we, according to Rashi and the Mitzvot, they both agree that it refers to the palace, that there was a contingent of Kohanim, Levim, there to stand in the palace. After Yoash is revealed, we have the Zera David, he is here, he's going now to be brought to the palace, and he's going to be protected by his people. But the Targum says the Shar HaMelech is the Sanhedrin. It's the. Let me just find that pasuk. Perek. I have to turn to the right page here. It's the Sanhedrin because seemingly what's happening over here is Yehoyada wants to show that the appointment of Yoash is not just a political appointee. It's an appointment that's been done, as Mr. Glatter's favorite term is, Aldas Torah. Al das Torah, your favorite term. What?
Pasukei.
Pasukei. V'yachlokum igorlos elim elo ki ho yusra kodesh v'sori elokim ibnei. I'm reading the wrong perek. I'm sorry. Perek chav gimel pasik hey. Okay, I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. I'm in the wrong sefer. I'm in. Chav gimel. Pasik hey. V'yashlishis bebeis hamelech. Targum. V'tilsa bebeis malka. Okay, that's the base malka. B'shar hayisod. The Tilsa Bisra, I told you Yisod. I'm sorry, that was the wrong one. Bisra Giboraya, Hu Tira Beis Olfon Torah, to study Sanhedrin. Not like Rashi and not like the Mesudas. We learn the Shar HaYisod, right? The Shar HaSur, Shar HaYisod. It's the East Gate. The Lishkas, the Sanhedrin, it's something different entirely. The Yisod, the foundation of Klal Yisrael is Torah. Torah is the Yisod of Klal Yisrael, and the significance of this being done is to show that this appointee, Yoash, is being appointed according to the law of the Torah. It's not just a coup that we're getting rid of Asalia. We have a better politician, a politician that is more manipulative, knows how to has a smoother tongue. It's not about that. It's about all about Torah. Base Olfon Sanhedrin. There is a powerful message in the Targum. But one other thing I want to point out is a very powerful piece of Gemara, Masechta the Sanhedrin and Daf Tzadi Hey. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Hashem was very upset at David HaMelech. Omolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. I'm reading Daf Sanhedrin Samach Hey Omid Aleph. Ad Mosai Yihye Ovon Ze Tomun Biyotcha. How long will I tolerate the fact that you have a terrible are responsible for a very great sin? Al yodcha neherga nov ir hakohanim, al yodcha nitra doye kohadomi, v'al yodcha nergu shohul ushloishes bonav. You are responsible, whether you like it or not, for the death of the whole city of Nov ir hakohanim. You are responsible for the banishment of doye kohadomi. Doye kohadomi took the wrong side. He was jealous of you, and therefore he took sides with Shaul, and he incited Shaul to pursue David and kill Noiv Yerachim and to pursue David. And because of you, Shaul and his three sons died. Shaul went, and he went too far, and he was killed. Yal Yodcha Nergu Shaul Shloishas Bonav. His Malchus was taken away from him, and he was killed in the battle with his sons and pushed him. Now, so therefore Hashem says, you didn't do it with kavana; it was unintentional. But the bottom line is, you were instrumental in these tragic three events. What should I do? So I'm giving you a choice. Hashem says to David, you have no choice, you have to suffer the consequences. The only thing is, you have a choice how you will suffer. Ritzoincha yichlu zarecha. Either your children will die, your seed will come to an end. That will be an atonement for what has you, what's caused that because of you. Or your children will live on, but you will be delivered in the hand of your enemy. Okay, so Hashem said, I take the latter. I don't want my children to come to an end. I want to be rather captured. Yomo chad nothik. One day he went out. Lishkar b'zai also satan ba'adlei kitvaya pasak be'giru v'lematya mashli ad amtayil aritz plishtim. They captured him. So one day he went out and he saw a deer. He went out to trap a deer, and the deer was really in the disguise of the satan. He shot an arrow. He went to take the deer that he caught, and really it was the satan in disguise. And the satan took him to the plishtim, and he was captured by the plishtim, and they tortured him kemat until he died. And then at that point, David said, I can't take this anymore. I'd rather have the other punishment. I'd rather switch it. I want to switch. I want an appeal. He called for an appeal. I don't want to die in the hand of my enemy. I'd rather go and have my children come to an end. And He made an exchange. Okay, without going through the whole Gemara or the whole story, because we're out of time. Fine, he came and And the Hashem allowed him to escape from the Plishtim. He went back home, but the Gezer was now exchanged, and his children have to come. And indeed, indeed, his children were all killed. But the Gemara's question is, but it's not true. It says over here. Back to, now, I'm skipping ahead all the way down to the end of the Gemara, and the Gemara over here says, "Omar Rabbi Yitzchak." I'm jumping all the way down. Okay, after a whole long story. Umanolan the color Zari to David. How could you know that David indeed, the second punishment came upon David? The Chassid says, our Pasek. The Asalia, this is really from Malachim, but it's the same idea. Asalia, Eim Achazyahu, we also Kimei Spinosh. He saw that Achazyahu died. That Tokom, that Toivat, is called Zerah HaMamlocha. Asali wiped out all the children. The Gemara says, but it's not true. For Ishtayir le Yoash. Yoash survived. That's the miracle. And in fact, that's really what David did. David realized that by waiting it out, Zerah David, there would be some survivor. The Gemara here says something very powerful. Hosam Nani Ishtayir Evyosar. When Noiv Ir HaKohanim was wiped out, the whole city was wiped out, there was one survivor. Who was the survivor? Evyosar. Evyosar indeed became David's Kohen Gadol. David took him into his ranks. Evyosar, there was one survivor. That because there was one survivor, Evyosar, Mida Keneged Mida, David also had one survivor. Who was the one survivor? Yoash. Tchsev Ayimolid, it says in the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Ben Echad Lachimelech Ben Achitov Ushmo Evyosar. He survived. And because he survived, that's why Yoash survived. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ilmole lo nishtayir Evyosar lachimelech ben achitov. Had Evyosar not survived, lo nishtayir mizaru shel David sardapola, then Yoash would not have survived. Hashem is medactic, everything is mida k'neged mida. So that was David's exchange. I guess what it means is that if he'd been given over to the hands of his enemies, he would have been completely blind. There was no way out. Maybe David knew that since when Hashem said your zer will come to an end, it meant mida k'neged Mida, because of all of the children of all of those people, they came to an end. But one survived. So the Mida Keneged Mida also will allow me a survivor. So that's why David changed his punishment from being captured by the enemy to. But the point is, in the fascinating point, where because of Yasser survived, Yoash survived. If you look in the Sifrei Kabbalah, Mishmat Zav, he has a lot of Kabbalistic, he goes and he brings all these Gilgulim, and he says that if Yasser, okay, this is not for me. This is not for me. This Evyosar was Niskalgel as Yoash.
Whoa.
As Yoash. The Kabbalah is from because of this Gemara. Whatever that means. Okay, we shouldn't even talk about these things. But you see, history repeats itself. You see, there's always a constant Hashem keeps Cheshbon forever, for all generations. Okay, we will stop here.